If I go slow and I'm kind of losing place or losing pace, he just kind of gets me a little poke there, and kind of get it excited. You know, you can see Vaughn doing that, can't you, though? If he could, I think that he would. He's got that little demon inside of him. I mean, just who knows he has that little demon inside of him? Say amen right there. That's good preaching. Amen. Let's have an invitation now. Amen. But I do want to thank Pastor for inviting us to come to be here with you for this fall revival meeting. I'm excited about it and excited what God's been doing here. And we pray our prayers what God's going to do. Amen. Through the next couple days. Can I encourage you not to miss a night? Don't miss a day. Don't miss a meeting. Everyone compounds upon the next and the next and the next. And so don't miss a service, because you need to know where the main character is going, and you need to know where this character is going. Amen? And it's going to be exciting. We're going to keep it moving. We're going to keep mindful of the time. Amen? We'll keep mindful of the time. I can be a long-winded preacher, but when I'm mindful of the time, we'll keep it within a good perspective. My goal is that we're going to start at 7 o'clock. My goal is to be done by 8:15 on each evening of the service. Now, please, let's let the Holy Spirit work too. Amen? Let the Holy Spirit work upon the hearts. And that's what we're here for, to let God move into our hearts. And we want to meet with God today. I do. I need that gentle shepherd to lead me and to guide me in the path that he has set before us. Well, if you do not know who we are, my wife and I, I'm Tim Holtzclaw, my wife Kelly, we are missionaries with Baptist Ambassadors to America, addressing a homeland need of church planting and church restoration. In the realm of church restoration, we do encouragement meetings. And can I tell you something? This is going to be an encouraging meeting to your church, and you are the church. Amen? So the meeting is for you. So can I, again, encourage you to be here? Now, I want to give you an idea of why you need to come back. Well, first of all, we're talking about this guy named Barnabas in the Bible. His real name is Joseph, but we're going to look at that in just a minute. But Barnabas was an encourager. And my heart is to be be an encouragement to you this week. So be here for the services. And we learned about one thing in Sunday school. We're going to learn more about Barnabas, who he is, and the start of his Christian life, and how God used him this morning. Tonight, we're going to look more into the study of Barnabas and how he had taken the next step in growth. And then we're going to close it down of Barnabas on Monday night. And on Monday night, the topic in regards to Barnabas is the value of one. So you don't want to miss the life of Barnabas. And then Tuesday night and Wednesday night, completely different, but very needful. And I need your help. You see, for Tuesday night, I need for you to bring something to help me with my message. The more of them, the better. So, Brother Holtzclaw, what do you need? I need more mugs. This one right here. I need lots of these to be in the church service on Tuesday night. Amen? So if you can come Tuesday night, again, I won't keep you long, but I need your mug. But not only your mug, I need for you to bring a mug. Can you bring a mug? The funnier, the better. The more unique, the better. Larger, the better. Amen? To bring your mug. Bring one with you. And then not only your mug, a mug, but do you think you might be able to bring an ugly mug with you to the service on Tuesday night? Anybody, whether ugly or handsome or beautiful, whatever, we just need them to come. Need them to be here, to be a blessing and encouragement. This is an uplifting message out of the Psalms for Tuesday night. So I need your mug, a mug, and an ugly mug. And the better the mug that you bring here, the better the service will go. So if you got a fancy looking mug like mine that has a Superman on it, amen, something like that that represents you, bring that and be a part of the service. Now, and on Wednesday night is for the church. I know Monday night and Tuesday night, other churches most likely are not having services, but they do on Wednesday night. So Wednesday night is for the church. You're part of the church, or come to the church, or visit the church. You're part of the church. We want you here on Wednesday night and have a message specifically for you. And yes, I need for you to come to be a part of it, but I also need for you to bring something else. What else, Brother Holtzclaw, do you want us to bring? I need for you to bring a bit of rope. A bit of rope. How long? I don't care. Any length. Small, long, you know. What kind of rope? It doesn't matter the kind. It can be thick, it can be thin, it can be twine, whatever. Bring a piece of rope and bring it to the service. Maybe even bring extra for others that come that maybe did not get the announcement. I will continue to announce it every night. So, Brother Holtzclaw, what are you bringing that rope for? So we can hang Pastor? No. No. But would you come if we did? You going to do rope tricks? No, I'm not going to do rope tricks. But I need the rope, and I need for you to bring one so you have one for the service. It's very important for the service to have its full effect, just like the mug. For it to have a full effect, bring a mug. We may have some extras. But if you bring yours, that'd be that much better. I've done service where folks bring these little pixie cups. Okay, fine. Just bring something, a mug. And that way we can have it to be a part of the service. But it is a joy to be here. So that's what we got going on for the service this week. But greet us, grab a hold of us anytime. You have any questions about what we're doing, where we're going. You just want to chat. Hey, we're here. We're here until Thursday. Please stop by our table on the way out. Pick up one of our missionary prayer cards. Grab a little brochure about our ministry, and will be a great blessing to you. And a great blessing to us is if you were to grab one of our CDs. We do sing, and we have recorded music, and they're on the back table. If you like the Holtzclaws in our music and like to take us home with you, we will eat you out of house and home. I'm a good eater. Amen. Ask Pastor. He took us out to eat yesterday. Amen. We eat a lot. So, but these don't eat anything. Amen. The CDs. So grab those. And I do have a special thing for Wednesday night for you. For Wednesday night, I am introducing a brand new CD. The Lord opened a door for me to be able to go into the studio and record back in July. And we have a brand new CD that we're introducing. This is the first church that I'm going to have it on my table for you. Encouraging songs like you have just heard that would be a great blessing into your spiritual life and to others to have it playing in your car. But let's get into the message this morning. How many of you came to church to get some churching today? Say amen. Me, amen. Open your Bibles, if you will, please, to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 4 and verse number 36. Acts chapter number 4 and verse number 36. And when you find it, say amen. There's a couple there. Amen. Some folks are already ready from Sunday school. Acts chapter number 4 and verse number 36. The first couple services, we're going to be talking about this man named Barnabas. He's a ministry of helps, or a helps ministry missionary. You know, there's always been a ministry of helps from the Bible. You read through the Bible, there's always been somebody there who is encouraging somebody else, helping somebody else, to be a blessing to somebody else. And my friend, that's what a Barnabas is. He's a part of a ministry of helps. Through the Scriptures, we see that God has designed the church, and the church is the members. The members supporting the pastor as a network together, as individuals and families, to now help a church to go and to grow. But not only that, but now a pastor and a church taking on missionaries and mission projects, working together in a network of helps ministries. But not only missionaries, but church planting and church helping ministries to help each other. How do we help, Brother Holtzclaw? We help by prayer. We help by training. We help by finances. And we also help by sending people to do the work. You know, one person cannot do everything here at this church. It's too much. It's just too much. But with the helpful hands of many, as they say, the Amish say, many hands make for light work. So the more hands we have, or feet that we have on deck, the more that we can get done. And so I want to encourage you through this life of Barnabas, a missionary with a helps-based mission field, how we all can be missionaries and active in this aspect of ministry. We all need a ministry. If you're a born-again child of God, what is your ministry of helps? And I pray through the next couple of services that you'll see how you can fit in and be a part. See, I want to share with you now in Acts chapter 4, verse 36. Let me read, and if you'll be so kind to follow. It says, and Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. That's my text. Sounds a little weird, but you'll see as we go through it, there's a lot of meat right here for the believer. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Amen. And ask God to bless. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. I pray, Lord, you help me as the preacher this morning to be efficient and to, Lord, be conscious of you working upon my heart and life to give that which, dear Lord, you've given me in private to now give openly to this man that's been a great blessing in my heart and life. This man, dear Lord, which has been an encouragement to me to be that ministry of helps. But Lord, lead us, I pray, this morning. Guide us all in the journey that you have before us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. After Sunday school lesson this morning where I shared the different ways of Barnabas helping and helping to discipling, getting to know someone and introducing them to other people in the church and getting people comfortable in the church. That's a great beginning spot of discipleship, Acts chapter 9. And you can read that this afternoon if you like or at your leisure to read about what Barnabas did next. And I'm so thankful that there has been a Barnabas in my life, a Barnabas to have helped me. You see, I want to share with you this guy named Barnabas and how he became. You see, we said first point this morning is, what's in a name? What's in a name? You see, I have a name. My name is Timothy. But sometimes I'm called Tim. When I was a little kid, it was Timmy. When I go home and meet my friends, I'm pushing 50, and my friends from way back when still call me Timmy. But I look at them and say, it's Dr. Timmy to you. And God's used that. My father-in-law takes a cake. He calls me Timmy Two Shoes. Okay, I'll take it. But we have nicknames. This man here, Barnabas, that wasn't his real name. That wasn't his real name. His real name was Joseph, which is akin to the name Joseph, which means let him add. And so Joseph was just a man. I believe that he might have gotten saved during one of the big revival meetings, whether Pentecost or the revival meeting right after that. But a new Christian in a new church in a new environment, and he had a heart to help. He was so helpful around the new church, and he was so helpful around the apostles that we see here that the apostles gave him a surname, a nickname. We see there in the verse again, verse 36, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas. Well, Brother Holtzclaw, what does Barnabas mean? Well, I'm glad you asked. I praise God that God gave us already the answer. One, it says here, his name being interpreted, the son of consolation. The son of consolation. But what does that word mean? That word means a help. It means a comforter. It means one that is given to serve. And that was Barnabas. He was a consolation. Now, don't take that as a negative thing, because we often hear of a consolation prize. Have you ever heard that before? How many of you ever been to the carnival or to a fair, and there's a booth set up, and you've got your best girl right beside you, guys, and you want to show off? So you go to one of these carnival games. They've got these milk jugs set up, and they give you these big old softballs. Man, I'm going to wipe those milk cartons out and cans out, and I'm going to win the big stuffed doggy for my girl. So you walk up there, man, you just, and you miss. Pow! Give me another shot right here. You wind up, and you throw up, pow! And the guy says, would you like to scoot up a little bit closer, sir? No, I'm going to step a little further back. You grab it again, you take it, and you whip all the best you can, man. You got your best wind up. You're trying to show off. Man, your arm is already hurting after the first two throws, but you're going to chuck it at it anyways, and you miss again. Well, you don't win that big old doggy. You win the little small doggy. That is called a what? A consolation prize. You did not win, but I'm going to give you something to help you over your sorrow. Is that right? I remember as a kid being involved in running and running races, and we'd run. Boy, there'd be 14 of us running, and we'd run. Only one's going to win the blue ribbon, and then the second place, and then the third place, maybe a fourth place, but everybody else gets the white ribbon, which says, thank you for participating. A consolation prize. You know, it's a comfort prize. And that's what Barnabas was. He was a comfort. But can I say that it's not in a negative thing? Well, you didn't win, so you get this prize. No, no, no. Consolation has a greater meaning to the greater attachment. If you have your Bible, let's do a little quick Bible study here. I'm going to give you some Bible verses. Now, we do have to go quickly. But this word here, consolation, is that Greek word paraklesis. And it means consolation. It means these things. But also, it's also connected to others. Paraklesis means a comfort or comforter. It means an exhortation or one who exhorts. An entreaty or one who gives entreaty for another. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. It says this in Luke 2, 25. It says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. We read that passage in our Christmas season about this guy named Simeon. But who is this consolation of Israel? That is Jesus. That is the Messiah. That is the Christ child. That's our Savior. He was the consolation of Israel. And he's given now this title of Paraklesis, the consolation. But not only that, Acts chapter 9, verse 31 says this. Acts 9, 31. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Same word. Same word, the comfort, the comforter. We have a song in our hymn books called about the comforter has come, the comforter has come. Oh, spread the tidings round wherever men may be found. Amen. The comforter, the Jesus has come, the greatest comforter. But not only that, the comforter of the Holy Spirit of God. Romans 15, verse 4 and 5. Romans 15, verse 4 and 5. I'm just trying to bring a point here. This name Barnabas means so much more. For what is in a name? In Romans 15, verse 4, we find two here that this comfort is connected with also. Not only is Barnabas given a great name by being called likened unto Jesus or likened unto the Holy Spirit of God. Romans 15, verse 4, for whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort, same word, of who? The Scriptures. You know, the Bible is our comforter. This is our comfort. When you're down and you need some help, and run to the Bible. Run to the Bible. And you'll get all that you need right there. But not. We're going to keep reading, though. Verse number 5. He says, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one to another according to Christ Jesus. Now, the God of patience and consolation. So we have our Heavenly Father is a Barnabas. The Lord Jesus is a Barnabas. The Holy Spirit is a Barnabas. And the Scriptures are a Barnabas. I'd say Barnabas was in good company by getting that name, don't you? I'd say that's a very special individual. So let's see why one of the reasons why this Barnabas got this name to be likened unto. Well, next we see that he was a regular man. So what's in a name? He has a name. Number two, what's in a heritage? What's in a heritage? We find in that passage of Scripture that he was a Levite, a holy called family to work in the temple, the Levites. He had given much up in his position by the name of a Levite to now turn to Jesus. We find only was he a Levite, but he had a country. He was from the land of Cyprus, the Bible tells us. But not only that, in the next verse, he had land, having land.
So what's your point with this, Brother Holzkohl? It's a real fast one. He had a name. Do you have a name? What's your name? Do you have a nickname? What's that nickname? For him, it was given to Barnabas. Do you have a heritage? Do you have a home? A group of people that you're connected with? In my blood, I have German, Holzklau, Hotzklau, however you want to pronounce it, depending on what country you're from. But I also have Native American Indian, Blackfoot Indian in me, from my mom's side. I have a heritage. I have a home. I have a place. I even own a house. It's for sale. Anybody want to buy a piece of property in Lancaster County? Historical Columbia? I'll sell it to you real cheap. But can I tell you something? I want to bring this out. He was just a regular guy. This guy, Joseph, whose surname is Barnabas, was a guy just like you. He wasn't a gal, but can I tell you something? He was just a regular person that a gal can be, a lady can be, and a man can be, and a teenager can be, and a young adult can be. We can all be like unto a Barnabas and carry that name. Because I want to show you what he did next. Because next, not only what's in a name, but what's in a gift. What's in a gift? And to me, this brings out Barnabas' nature. In verse number 37 of our text in Acts chapter number 4, we find these four things. And I want to bring out these four things this morning. It says, first of all, having land. Having land. You see, I want to show you by this having land that when Barnabas gave this gift, it was a personal gift. You see, what was happening at this state of the Bible is that there was already two great revival meetings. And many people were saved. At the filling of the apostles, they preached in the temple. And 3,000 plus, but 3,000 we know of, got saved. And while those 3,000 were being baptized, Peter and John came back a second time. And they preached again. And now 5,000 more got saved. Let's see. 5 plus 3 is 8. I don't think we can put 8,000 people in this room. Okay? Even standing shoulder to shoulder, I don't think we can do it. We'd have to open the windows and put people outside. We may have to set a platform up on the top of the church. Amen? Talking about preaching from the housetops. And I believe that Barnabas may be in one of them. And if you read from Acts chapter 2 on in the filling, people were being saved every day and adding unto the church. And these people had come to church, had come to Jerusalem to worship here at this time of Pentecost and to make a sacrifice. But, praise God, they found Jesus. They found the Lord. They wanted to learn more about Him. They didn't want to go home. And these folks came from everywhere. Can you imagine if all of us, we were to load up in buses, we saved up our money all year long, we bought tickets, and we flew to Israel, to Jerusalem for a special day and celebration, and while there, we find Jesus. This is something new. This is something we've already been studying, but now it's been fully revealed. I want to learn more about this Jesus. When you got saved, didn't you not want to learn more about Jesus? More about Jesus would I learn. More of His holy will discern. More of His saving love for me. More to know that He died for me. I'm making up my words now, but at least I finished the rhyme. Okay, now, so these folks wanted to learn more about Jesus in the church. But now they're running out of money, just like we would run out of money. We can't stay in the hotels anymore because we're out of money. The credit cards are all maxed. We're trying to help each other, encourage each other in the Lord, and trying to, this guy's got money, this guy is just broke. I mean, we saved every penny we had, Ms. Oslaw, to come here. But we want to stay. And folks were selling their land and things like that and giving it. You see, this first point here, Barnabas saw a need, and he filled the need. That's what a Barnabas does. A Barnabas sees a need, and he feels the need. The Bible says, having land, he wanted to help. How can he help? He knew that the people need food. They need shelter. How are they going to get that? By resources. And so Barnabas having land, and he gave this land to the church. So my first point is, in this part, he gave a personal gift. It was a personal gift. And my friend, can I tell you something? When God gets on your heart and life, and revival is stirring, you will see something that needs to be done. You will see a need in a life and a need in a church. And my friend, it will be something that you can satisfy and that you can meet. And in that, it'd be personal. That's a personal thing for you to deal with and to give. Because sometimes God asks things from us personally. We are in ministry. For us to do our ministry more, we need to give up our home. We need to sell our house so that we can go and help more. Whatever the case may be. Everybody's a little bit different. But God's going to ask something personal of you in your Christian life to be a Barnabas. Barnabas having land, personal gift. Secondly, it was a sacrificial gift. It was a sacrificial gift. What did he do with that land? He sold it. He sold that land. I want to say that Barnabas probably did not get the best deal when he sold that land. I'm sure he took a sacrifice, not only in separating himself from his land, but now he probably went to the market and tried to make a good deal. And everybody at the market knew the church was needing some money, so you're not going to get a quick good deal at the marketplace. They didn't have Remax, they didn't have Prudential, they didn't have this new Berkshire, whatever, Hathaway group going on like crazy. So they probably went to sell some stuff. I'm going to use this guy right here in the front row. I go to the market, I've got some land for sale, I've got some land. And he says, yeah, I'll take your land. No, I need $10,000 for my land. He says, I've seen your land. I'll give you five. I'll give you two. $2,000 for my land. No, but it's worth $10,000. But we need it. And I've been in a church too long. I know the spiel. We try to help real young kids, and we have a great ministry trying to help the feeble minded and the oppressed, and we really need more than ten. Please, sir, can you at least give me eight? Eight? Can we deal for eight? Can you come up a little bit for eight? Eight? He's got. Well, he's hard nosed, man. Let me find this young lady over here. But I'm sure Barnabas didn't get the best deal on his land, but I'm sure he took a hit and it was a sacrifice, but he gave it anyways, and they shook hands on him, and the deal was done. The deal was done. He sold it. And can I tell you something? That which is personal that you may have, a personal gift, it may feel like a sacrifice that you're giving in order to help meet that need that someone may have for the Lord. And so it was a personal gift that he gave to help the church. It was a sacrificial gift, his land, that he gave to the church. Thirdly, it was a complete gift. It was a complete gift. What does it say there? And he brought the money to the apostles. I believe right after the deal was done. Can I borrow that? I believe after the deal was done. It's there. I might as well use it. The deal was done. I'm sure that it wasn't credit. I doubt he got a script, a signature. That guy would probably be gone. But he probably gave him some money and put it in a bucket. Can't you just hear all that money in there? That precious money. It's all in there. And so straight from the marketplace, I believe Barnabas carried all his money and he came over to the apostles and he laid it at his feet. I think it was a complete gift. Completely given, as opposed to one that's not completely given. You see, if we keep reading in the Scriptures, the very next chapter, we hear about two individuals, Ananias and Sapphira. You see, they also had land, and they also sold it, and they also brought the money to the church to help meet a need. But they didn't do it for themselves, for God. They did it for themselves. Here they sold this land. They got all this money gathered together. And they said, let's keep back some of it for ourselves. We're going to need some of this. And that's okay. That wasn't the sin. The sin came in is when they brought the money and said, we're giving it all. Was it all? No, they kept back in part. They wanted the praise and the honor and glory. They even came in separate. Here comes Ananias. He has his offering. I want to give my offering unto the Lord. Here it is, all of it. He puts it down. The apostle says, you've grieved the Holy Spirit. You've lied to the Holy Spirit of God, and God's going to require your life because of your sin. And Ananias fell over dead. Boom. Wow. Have you ever seen that happen in church before? Somebody fall over dead because of something bad? Because of a sin? But hey, he wasn't the only one. Here comes Sapphira. Sapphira's coming next. She has her gift. She's coming. Why did she come in later? It just takes longer to get ready. It just does. She had to put her makeup on. Had to get her hair all poofied up and spuffly up. She had to put on her right stuff. And she had to smell nice. And she's coming in. I've got my gift. I'm giving it all. And she lays it on the altar. Is this all? It is all. You've lied. It's not all. You've kept back in part. The Holy Spirit has revealed your sin. The ushers that are just coming back in from burying your husband are coming to get you. She dies. Read it. It's the next chapter. Now tell me, how many of you would be in church Sunday night after that? People are really being slain in the Spirit, Holy Spirit of God. Amen? Literally. But can I tell you something? That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says great fear came upon the church. The church grew. The church grew because they had a fear of the Lord, a respect for the Lord, an honor to the Lord to do the right thing. Because he gave a complete gift. And my friend, God wants complete gifts from us. But lastly, he gave a humble gift. He gave this gift with a humble heart. The Bible says he laid it at the apostles' feet. He laid it at the apostles' feet. And in laying it at the apostles' feet, that's a humbling move. That's a humbling move to lay it down and lay it at his feet. Personal, sacrificial, complete, and now it's given humble. You know, God wants a humble heart. God wants us to give of ourselves humbly to him in everything we say and do. You see, I want to give you a biblical illustration of a Barnabas. Now, only the one that we're talking about, who had a name, he was just a regular guy. Having land, he was just a regular person, he had a heritage, but now he gave a gift. He gave a gift. Personal, sacrificial, completely, and humbly. And the only greatest illustration that I can give from the Bible is the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you not say that from the portals of heaven, he, first of all, he came personally? He did not send an angel. He did not assign somebody already here. He himself came from the portals of glory to bleed and to die for you and for me, for my sin and our sin. I believe he came personally. But not only did he come personally, he came for you personally. And he came for you personally. And when I was an 11-year-old boy in my front yard, I realized for the first time he came for me personally to give me a gift. But not only did he give me a gift personally, he gave it sacrificially. We already know the fact that of the cross. The cross was not a good place. It was a terrible place. It was an awful place. A place called Golgotha. Calvary was not known as the word where we know it today as a place of atonement, and Calvary a place of hope. There was a place of death and sacrifice. And John the Baptist spoke right when he saw Jesus. He said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And that Lamb, that final spotless Lamb, being that sacrifice for my sin and for you. He came personally, my friend, himself, but he also came for you. He came sacrificially of himself, leaving the portals of glory to come to bleed and to give himself for you. He gave himself, thirdly, completely. He gave himself completely. He didn't hold anything back. He gave it all there at that altar on the cross. There he gave it all. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. As they're nailing him to the cross, as they are crucifying him with a crown of thorns upon his head, the stripes upon his back. And my friend, he did that for you, and he did that for me. And he did it completely. You see, there's nothing that I can do to merit heaven. Nothing that I can do. I cannot be good enough. I cannot be the best person in the whole wide world. Would not be enough. I need Jesus. And I need his love. And I need his sacrifice. Because when he came and he bled and he died, he did it completely. And there in his last breath, there on the cross, he said, "It is finished. It is done. The debt is paid in full." So that now with Christ into my heart and my life, as I invited him into my life, my friend, it took nothing for me to get saved but the blood of Jesus Christ. It took nothing on my part to keep my salvation. It took nothing on my part to get me up into heaven. It's all on him. He did it completely. Because it's all in a gift. And lastly, Jesus came and gave it humbly. The King of all glory to be born in a little tiny manger. The one who's building a mansion for each and every one of us that are saved up in glory had no home here on earth. One asked him and said, where are you staying, Jesus? He said, well, the birds have nests and the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man had no place to lay his head. He came humbly to this earth. He came unto his own, the Bible said, and his own received him not. He gave himself humbly. And my friend, now he's here. We have that great verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, my friend, the greatest gift given was given by a Barnabas, and an example for us now. As a child of God, how can I not give myself? How can I not give myself personally to the Lord? How can I not sacrifice things of my life to give unto the Lord for all that he's done for me? How can I hold back? How can I hold anything back from him who has given me all? How can I do that? And then to come before him humbly to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, my friend, this morning in the life of Barnabas, I hope that we can all see that each and every one of us is just a simple people. We really are. And I pray each of us could see the need that we personally had and how one another Barnabas took care of that need for us. And now we in turn to take on that robe or to take on that title to now be that Barnabas. That Barnabas in the church. The Barnabas to brothers and sisters in Christ. That Barnabas to the lost who need to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He who gave it all. Say, I owed a debt I could not pay. He paid a debt he did not owe. And so, my friend, revival. Revival this week, revival, is on recognizing that terrible payment that was paid so that I can, what I can have, and the many things that were given that we have. We are so spoiled in our churches. We're so spoiled in America to have forgotten the debt that has been paid for us already. Our liberty that we have as a Christian, that many of our soldiers and others had died on a battlefield so that we may have our liberty in America. May we not forget that. It makes me angry to think someone's burning or stepping on my flag. How about you? But more than that, to think that we as God's children don't love him like we should, don't serve him like we should, and don't give like we should of ourselves. To be that Barnabas. And so revival begins when we come to that realization we have a need. The realization that we need to do something. Because there is a need. And so this week, let's be busy. Let's get busy about our Father's business. Let's do this completely. Let's do this humbly. Let's do this in a sacrificial way. And being faithful and loyal to your church by attending. And then going out and grabbing others and getting others to come for the meeting. Is the gospel true? Jesus really save? He does. Then let's be a Barnabas this week and then some. Personally, sacrificially, completely, and humbly for the Lord. So with our heads bowed and eyes closed here this morning,